an apocryphal book. There's a story, a very interesting one, and I ask you to listen very carefully to the introductory part of the message. If you miss the first part, you'll miss the entire purpose of the sermon altogether. One of the apocryphal books, there's a story about Darius, the king of Persia, who gave a great feast for 127 of his governors and famous people. Four men of the king's guard entered into a contest at the request of Darius, the king of Persia, to speak a word, a sentence, that would impress the king and impress the feast and those present. The one who spoke the most powerful word was to be honored with gifts of gold, was to be given a necklace of gold, and given a place of honor at the king's court. Four men from the king's guard were chosen. One man stood, and to speak a strong word, he said, "Wine is strongest. Wine is strongest." And then he proceeded to give his case for the reason that wine is the strongest. He told of the influence that wine has upon the lives of people. He told of the influence that wine has upon the homes of the nation and of the land of Persia. And presented his case and shouted again, "Wine is strongest." A second stood and gave his word, and this word was, "The king is strongest. The king is strongest." And then he proceeded with eloquence to tell why he thought the king was the strongest. He told of the influence the king had upon the lives of all the people. He explained how that at the king's command, thousands of people obeyed, and how the entire empire, world empire it was affected by just the command of the king. And he shouted in closing, "The king is the strongest." The third man stood and shouted these words, "Woman is the strongest." Then he proceeded with eloquence to explain the influence that woman has on man. And he shouted again as he told his story and pleaded his case about the fact that for woman men have died and lived and sacrificed. And he shouted again, "Woman is strongest." And then the fourth stood and shouted his sentence. And he said, "Truth is strongest." And then he gave his argument for truth. And by the time he finished his argument for the truth, the great crowd of people at the feast of Darius was shouting, "Great is truth! Great is truth! For truth is greater than wine. For truth is greater than the king. For truth is greater than woman. Greatest is the truth." And the winner of the strongest statement was that member of the king's guard who shouted, "Truth is strongest." I want to speak this morning on this subject. Blocked traffic. In the 59th of Isaiah, in verse 14, we find a most unusual statement. "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth far off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." Now follow me carefully as I give you the teaching of the Scripture. Here is the true fare. Kennedy Expressway, Dan Ryan Expressway. It likens life to a street or an expressway. And it says that there's been something fallen in the street. Truth has fallen in the street. Because truth has blocked the street, equity cannot get by. Consequently, just judgment is turned away backward. Judgment drives down the street, comes to a blockade, finds that truth has fallen in the street. There's no way to get by. And judgment turns and walks back the other way. There's no judgment, proper judgment. Why? Truth has fallen in the street. And then it goes on to say, justice stands before all. Justice comes down the road, and justice walks by. But justice cannot get by. Why? Because justice, like judgment, is built on truth. If there's no truth, there's no justice. If there's no truth, there's no judgment. And so judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off and says, "I can't get by." Why? Truth is fallen in the street. Now, I want you very carefully to hear my message this morning on this subject of truth. Now, it says, "Truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." Now, here are three travelers who need to drive down the street. The first is judgment. He drives down the street and he finds that truth has fallen and blocking the street. He turns and goes back. Here comes justice down the street and he finds that truth has fallen and blocks the street and he has to stand afar off. Here comes equity down the street and equity finds that truth has fallen. Because truth has fallen and blocking the traffic, equity cannot enter. Consequently, there's a traffic jam. There's a blockade of traffic. Why? All because truth has fallen in the street. I was coming back from O'Hare Field one night. Boy, that's the story of my life. I was coming back from O'Hare Field one night, 2 o'clock in the morning. I came down the Kennedy Expressway, and all of a sudden, 2 o'clock in the morning, traffic was blocked, and I could not see the end of the cars as far as I could see ahead. And I waited about 45 minutes and finally moved up an inch or two, and there's nothing that, if I ever fall from grace, it'll be on the expressway. But there's nothing in the world that irritates me anymore. If I'd had somebody there that could cuss, like with a hand, I'd have asked him some cuss words. If I'd known when I'd used it, I did say, gee whiz. But anyway, I finally got to it after about an hour and a half, 3:30 in the morning. I didn't have any sleep all night, and I wanted to get home and get a few hours sleep, and I had to get to work the next morning, and there was a great big load of oranges. And it was in a truck, and it was turned over. And boy, that was the greatest thing I'd ever seen, but not at 3:30 in the morning. I mean, I don't want orange juice at 3:30 in the morning. And oranges everywhere. I mean, on this side of the street, on that side of the street, rolling down the street. And it reminds me of the day when I went to O'Hare Field, late for a plane. That's the story of my life. And I had some grapes with me. I didn't know that grapes would get wet, and I put them in a sack. I didn't know that like a hole in the bottom of the sack. And I was running for the plane, a whole lot of grapes, and the grapes all fell out, and grapes rolled everywhere, and folks couldn't get by, and they were walking this way and trying to get by, and there I was, a trail of grapes behind me, grapes of wrath all behind me. But when somebody blocks the street, there's nothing can get through. I mean, an ambulance couldn't get through. Somebody going to the hospital couldn't get through. Why? Blocked. That's why. And the writer Isaiah looks out at his untoward generation and he says, we have one great problem. Just judgment has to turn and go back. Justice has to stand before all. Equity can't go by. Why? Truth is fallen in the street. Now, that's why the confusion is in our colleges today. You want to know why we have communism in our colleges? You want to know why they're capturing deans and holding hostage presidents of universities? You want to know why the hippies run wild? And by the way, have you been on a campus lately? How many of you have been on a campus of a state university in the last 3 years? Raise your hand, would you please? Look around. Look around. Keep your hands up. You see, you don't know what's going on. How many have not been on the campus of a state university in the last 3 years? Raise your hand, please. No wonder we still deify these places where communism runs like a river. We don't know what's going on. I spoke a few months ago at a Southern Michigan Sunday School convention that was held on the campus of the Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. And I could not believe what I saw. I could not believe. When I was a kid, they called those folks tramps that they call students at Kalamazoo Western Michigan University. I could not believe it. I mean, you know what the trouble is. I'll tell you what the trouble is. Truth is not truth anymore. And we're going to have confusion. We're going to have our riots. We're going to have our communist hotbeds. We're going to have our Students for Democratic Society. We're going to have our burning our buildings. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have anarchy. So somebody says, let's get truth up again and let's quit blockading justice and equity and judgment because truth has fallen in the streets. Now, no truth. You go to the average college nowadays and they'll say there's nothing truth, all is relative. Don't be dogmatic. Don't be authoritarian. Don't make any statements as positive statements. We're all searching for a part of the truth. Everything is relative. Nothing is right. But ladies and gentlemen, I advanced to you this morning that 2 + 2 is still 4 like it always was. Truth, crushed to earth, the writer said, shall rise again. The problems in our schools today are problems of the fact that we have quit exalting and holding truth. Truth is fallen in the streets and equity cannot pass. That's what's wrong with our churches. You know how we have empty churches this morning? Because there's no truth. Truth has fallen in the streets. Equity cannot pass. Judgment turns around and goes back. Justice stands afar off. Why? Truth has fallen in the streets. Listen, you check the churches that are on the move today. You check the churches that have the crowds today. In every case, there is a man of God who says, thus saith the Lord, this is truth. As long as truth is not relative, as long as authoritarian position is unpopular, as long as a preacher stands in the pulpit and doubts the Word of God and casts reflection upon the verbal inspiration of the Bible, our churches will still languish in phase of mediocrity. Somebody's got to stand up and say, this is truth! This is truth! If you want our churches to be filled again, if you want our churches to grow again, if you want our churches to influence our society again, you're going to have to get truth up and prop truth up and stand truth up and say, this is truth, and this is error, this is right, this is wrong. Somebody said not long ago, said, I came to Howes' church and he's a rabble-rouser. You better know I'm a rabble-rouser. You better know it. I believe truth, and I believe error. I believe right, and I believe wrong. And nobody ever walks through those doors back there and wonders what our stand or our position is. Why? Because we hold truth up. As long as truth stands up, righteousness can get by, equity can pass, and judgment can go by, and justice can be meted out. But when there is no truth, the cashless slaves can stick their tongues out of our government and still walk free men on the streets. As long as there's no truth, when truth falls in the streets, hippies can defy our nation, burn the draft cards, laugh at our laws, and still walk free men in the streets. There's only one great problem we face in America today. Somebody's going to have to get back to propping truth up and holding truth up so justice, equity, and judgment can pass in the streets. Now, three things I want to say about truth. And by the way, let me say this again. I heard this last week, something very sad. The Spurgeon's Tabernacle no longer is using its auditorium.
Okay, I'm going to put this thing on standby. You know how to use it.
5,000 seats used to be, 1,700 seats now. I've been there twice. Now they're not even using the auditorium. They're meeting in a classroom somewhere. The little handful of people come. What's the great difference? I'll tell you what it is. There will never be a virile Christianity. There will never be a Christianity or a church that will affect and influence society. So the church comes back and says, this, ladies and gentlemen, is truth. As long as the Bible may or may not be so, justice will not pass, judgment will have to go back, and equity will not be able to pass in the street. But we come back to saying truth is truth, and this is truth. Now, three things about this. In the first place, truth does not die. Truth does not die. Did you hear what I said? Truth does not die. It falls in the street, but it does not die in the street. Truth does not die. Well, I know what they say, and you've heard them say it in these schools. Some perverted teacher stands up and says, this is a new age. We have to change with the changing of time. You tell that teacher that Jack Hyle said, truth does not die. I'll go a step further than that. God says truth does not die. Truth may fall, and when truth falls, havoc, anarchy, chaos is inevitable. But truth does not die. Truth is always the same. 2 times 2 is still 4. 2 plus 2 is still 4. The Bible is still the Word of God. Jesus Christ is still the virgin-born Son of God. Our sinful natures, our natures are sinful by birth. Christ died for sinners. Ye must be born again to go to heaven. There is a heaven that has golden streets and gates of pearl. There is a hell that has fire. I heard a famous preacher say on the radio just the other day, hell may not have fire. If I believed that, I'd get out of the ministry. If I believed there was no hell, I'd close my Bible. If I believed there was no hell, I'd quit preaching. If I believed there was no hell, I wouldn't work day and night. If I believed there was no hell, I wouldn't travel all across this country. If I believed there was no hell, I wouldn't go and tell people how to be saved. Why? Because I believe the Bible is true. True! Does not change. Never changes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, just because you have a degree doesn't change truth. Bible is still true. Christ is still God's Son. Hell is still hot. Hell is still fire. Heaven is still real. Salvation is still available. And the new birth is still a necessity if you go to heaven. Truth does not die. Truth does not die. Number two, truth needs help. Truth needs help. Truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Judgment walks down, drives down the streets and tries to get by and can't. It goes the other way. Why? Because truth is fallen in the street. Justice comes down the street and tries to get by. He has to stand back because justice cannot pass because truth is fallen in the street. Equity tries to pass and equity can't because truth is fallen in the street. Truth does not die, but truth needs help. Don't you recall that story of the Ethiopian eunuch on the road to Gaza in Acts chapter 8? Philip is coming down through the desert place and he sees the eunuch in a chariot reading the prophet Isaiah. That wonderful 53rd chapter of Isaiah is the object of his vision. Philip comes down and sees him reading it. And Philip cries up and says, "Hey, understandest thou what thou readest?" And the eunuch replies from his chariot, "How can I except some man should guide me?" If there is one chapter in the Old Testament that would tell a man how to be saved, it's Isaiah 53. If there's one chapter in the Old Testament that pictures Jesus Christ dying for sinners, it's Isaiah 53. If there's one chapter in the Old Testament, the canon of Scripture he had available at that time, that would tell him easily and simply how to be saved, it's Isaiah 53. And yet he shouted, "How can I except some man should guide me?" Ladies and gentlemen, truth needs help. Truth needs a man. Truth needs proclaiming. Truth needs preaching. Truth needs declaring. And that's why the writer inspired Apostle Luke to quote the eunuch as saying, "How can I except some man should guide me?" When I came to the First Baptist Church of Hammond, the church believed basically then what she believes today, except we didn't bark it quite as loud as we do today. I stood at the front of the first Sundays I was here and preached on a few things or against a few things, you know. And I want to make this plain too to you young preacher boys. I don't believe you can be a Bible preacher and not preach a negative message as well as a positive message. Coming from our seminaries and colleges and homiletics classes today is a lot of garbage that says, "Just preach positive." Tell John the Baptist that. He said, "You bunch of generation of vipers, you go back and get to your seat until you get some fruit and meat for repentance. Then you come back down the aisle." The Bible's full of preaching, warning people of the wrath of God. But anyway, when I came to First Baptist Church Hammond 10 and a half years ago, one of the deacons came to me, a very fine man, but he said, "Now, Pastor," he said, "you're pretty strong on a few things." And I said, "I'm just getting started. I'm pretty strong on a lot of things. I just mentioned a few so far." Well, he said, "Now, we don't have to have it like that." He said, "We have it in our minutes, our position." And I said, "It'll be more than in the minutes from now on. It'll be in the pulpit. It'll be in the pulpit. Put it in the minutes and it'll block traffic. Put it in the pulpit and it'll open up the truth there." Truth is fallen in the street. Truth doesn't need to be in the minutes. Truth needs to be in the pulpit. And I'll make this statement. Nobody in 11, 10 and a half years has ever walked through those doors and wondered whether we believe the Bible is the Word of God or not. Nobody. Nobody has ever sat in these pews and wondered about our position or this preacher's position about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I may have preached too long, and I may have preached too loud, and I plan to do that this morning. But I may preach too long, and I may preach too loud, and I may not use the best grammar sometimes, though I do try to use the best grammar possible. I may not use the best homiletics, though I try. But there's one thing you can say, my precious brother, when folks walk through that door, they walk out knowing that I believe the Bible is true. And I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and that you must be born again. And once truth falls from this pulpit, it'll block traffic, and the way will not be made plain, and people will not be at this altar on their knees. truth is fallen in the street. Once it stood erect. Once truth was standing saying, this is the way, this is the way, this is not the way, this is not the way, and this is not the way, but this is the way. And once truth stood, pointed the way. But let me stop and say this, dear friends. Without truth, there is no way. Now listen to this. Without truth, there is no way. For the one who said, I am the way, said in the next words, I am the truth. When the truth falls, the way falls. For he who is truth is also the way. And that's why equity couldn't get by, because truth had fallen, and with truth the way fell. And that's why judgment could not get by, it had to turn back. And that's why justice could not get close, it had to stand back. And that's why equity could not enter, it had to turn back. Because truth had fallen in the street. I heard the story many times. And you, as you have, of John Wycliffe. John Wycliffe was, of course, martyred for his stand. They hated him so much, they dug his body up, burned his bones, and drowned his ashes. They put his ashes in the Avon River. And that it went on down to the Severn. And on down to the small seas, and then on down to the oceans. They hated John Wycliffe that much. It was not enough to kill him. They did not want his body lying whole or intact in the grave. And they dug his body, burned his ashes, or burned his bones, and drowned his ashes in the river. Fox wrote about that. And said that God made it so, for the ashes in the body of John Wycliffe was as his message. His ashes were placed in the Avon, and from there they flowed to the Severn, from there they flowed to the small seas, and from there they flowed to the oceans, and from there around the world. For the truth that John Wycliffe preached cannot die. And his body did as is truth. It went around the world. My young friends this morning, and my old friends alike, our nation totters on the brink of communism. You may not believe that, and you can call me all you want to call me, but brother, we're just that far from being a socialist nation today. I mean, we totter on the brink. Why? I'll tell you why. Truth is no longer truth. Right is no longer right. Integrity is no longer integrity. There's nothing black. There's nothing white. Everything is a cloudy gray. God, give us some teachers who say it's true. It's truth. It's truth. It's truth. It's truth. And when we do, we'll raise some politicians who will stand for truth. We'll have some leaders who will stand for truth. But as long as we don't say this is right, then this is wrong, and this is truth, and this is error, nobody's dogmatic anymore. Nobody's authoritarian anymore. Nobody says this is it anymore. Consequently, truth falls in the street. When truth falls in the street, the way also falls, and people cannot find the way. Everybody today is looking for the answer. Everybody wants the way out. Our president, God bless him. And I think he's a good man. I think he's a great improvement over what we had before. Though he's not from Texas, at least for 8 years, several years, we did get the other one out of Texas. And but anyway, I think he's an improvement over Mr. Johnson. But he wants the way out. But if he wants the way out, he won't find it having Norman Vincent Peale in the White House preaching services. If he wants the way out, he ought to have Hiles. And somebody's going to say, this is right. Somebody ought to stand in the White House and say, the liquor you're drinking is wrong. Somebody ought to stand in the White House and say that it is wrong to mollycoddle a communist. Somebody ought to stand in the White House and say, the Bible is still true. When truth falls in the street, when truth falls in the street, then the Supreme Court becomes confused. When truth falls in the street, our Congress knows not what laws to make. When truth falls in the street, our president gropes in darkness. When truth falls in the street, our young folks become anarchists. When truth falls in the street, every man does that which is right in his own eyes, for that which is truth is that which I think is truth, and I become my own God, my own leader, my own president, my own king, my own power. My mind becomes the object of my worship, and I obey only myself because truth is relative, and every man seeks what he thinks is truth, and truth stumbles in the street, and equity cannot get by, and justice can't get by, and judgment can't get by because truth is fallen in the street. Churches where the truth is preached is truth have no serious problems. You know, one of the strangest things about our church is we get along so well with each other. We don't have any serious problems, at least we haven't, as far as I know, lately. It's been, let's see, it's probably been 9 or 10 years this July 13th since our church had anything but perfect harmony. One fellow said, he came to visit our church, a preacher. He said, if I preach like you did, my folks would kill me. And I said, if you don't, your folks ought to kill you. Why? Why do we have harmony? Because truth is erect. We oftentimes have visitors come, especially on Sunday night when we have a little longer to ramble. They come on Sunday night and while I'm preaching, and I'll get off on something, you know, like miniskirts or maxi coats or something very bland, you know, something, and I'll have these visitors look around and see how y'all are taking it, you know. And before they laugh, they want to be sure that you're laughing, you know. And they come after the service, and sometimes they say to me, those folks are with you. Sure. Truth always opens up the way. It's error that blocks the traffic. The churches that have trouble when the preacher tries to go around truth or he makes truth what the people want to hear. Truth always opens up the true fair. Truth always makes equity passable or pass and always lets judgment and justice pass. Truth, when it's standing erect, it points the way. But when truth falls in the street, equity cannot enter. And as I said a while ago, when truth falls, there is no way. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I say this, and I believe this from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. Truth must be preached, whether popular or unpopular, whether accepted or rejected, whether liked or hated. 10.5 years ago, when I became pastor of this church, I promised God I'd preach what I thought was the truth. Now, I may have made some mistakes, and no doubt I have, but I have preached what I thought was the truth. And from this pulpit, and the one that burned over here in the old auditorium, same size as this pulpit made in a likeness of that one, same dimensions exactly. From these two pulpits for 10.5 years, we have not missed our words. We have done our best to be faithful to the truth. Now, in so doing, we have pointed people to the one who is the truth, for he who is the truth is the way. Now, follow me carefully. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want Brother Terry to help me and Brother Hand to help me here for a minute. I want to show you something. Stand, hold my hand if you would please. Well, this will be a high hour for both of you. Just as God the Father said, or God is a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, our Lord is a Trinity. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All one person. He did not say, I am the way and someone else the truth and someone else is the life. No, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, when truth, Brother Terry is the way, I'm the truth, so the hand is the life. When truth falls in the street, Christ is not exalted, for he's the truth. That means the way also dies. Is that right? And when the way dies, life dies. Is that right? It is truth that initiates the way. It is the way that brings you to life. All of it hinges on the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall, you say it, make you free. Thank you, fellas. Now then, bound together in Christ's Trinity is truth, way, life. No truth, no way, no way, no life. You've got to have first the truth. If the truth is not preached, you won't know the way, and if the way is not known, you will not have life. And that means if you want to live in heaven, and if you've got an ounce of sense, you do. If you want to go to heaven when you die, if you want to live eternally, who was it who died, a famous author, who died one time, and as he died, and I've forgotten exactly, but as he died, he looked up and said something like this, "Oh God, may there be a life after this one, and may there be something for me to do when I get there so I can be busy." Now, if you want eternal life, and what man doesn't want to live after death? Listen, the rankest atheist wishes there were a God. The man who laughs at heaven and laughs at life after death wants to live as long as he can. I can prove it. A man who says there's no heaven and no life after death, when he gets sick, goes to the same doctors we go to. He wants to live as long as he can. And though he does not believe in life after death, he wishes he did. If you want to live after you die, now follow me. If you want to live after you die, that's life. Do you want life? Of course you do. Our medical scientists are working day and night to give us life. A scare in Chicago about diphtheria has swept us outside, and in one little clinic alone yesterday, 1,000 people lined up to get their shots. Why? They want life! There's something that beats in the breast of every man to live as long as he can, and if he can, to live after he dies. Life! Whether you're talking about abundance of life on this side of death or eternal life on the other side of death, you want life. If you want life, you've got to find the way. The way to life. If you find the way to life, you've got to find the truth. For once truth falls in the streets, the way falls. Judgment goes backward. Justice stands afar off. And equity cannot enter. You've lost the way. You've lost the way. And the only way you can have the way is to have the truth. Where's the truth? This is the truth. Every word of it's true. When this truth falls in the street, we lose our way, and man dies without God. When this truth is picked up off the street and held and preached to right, man can find a way through Jesus Christ to life and life eternal. What is the truth? The truth is, all of us are sinners. What is the truth? The truth is, as sinners, we're lost. What is the truth? The truth is that Jesus Christ became sin, the perfect substitute accepted by God, and on the cross bore our sins in his body on the tree. What is the truth? The truth is that Christ was buried, and our sins were buried with him. What is the truth? The truth is that Christ rose from the dead and lives forever at the right hand of God. What is the truth? The truth is that Christ is coming back from heaven to earth again to receive all of his own to himself. What is the truth? The truth is when he comes, the graves will open, the dead in Christ shall rise and meet the Lord in the air. What is the truth? The truth is that those whose bodies have decayed in the grave shall become like the Lord Jesus Christ, and those of us who live at his coming who are saved shall be caught up to meet him in the air. What is the truth? The truth is that if you go to heaven, you've got to receive Christ as your personal Savior. What is the truth? The truth is not you get baptized or join the church or live a good life or turn over a new leaf. The truth is you've got to get born again. What is the truth? The truth is, if you get born again, you receive Christ by faith as your Savior. What is the truth? The truth is, you can be saved this morning. What is the truth? The truth is, if right where you are, you would acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner and that Christ died for your sins and receive him personally as your sacrifice and your hope for heaven. What is the truth? The truth is, you could walk out that door with your name in heaven if you trust the Savior today. That's the truth. Truth has stood again in this pulpit and will as long as we're here. Truth has not fallen the street. And because truth is not fallen, the way is still plain. And because the way is still plain, you can live forever by faith in Jesus Christ. Let us bow our heads for prayer.